Right. Well, good morning. I know I've been introduced in terms of people saying I'm Stephen. But for anybody who doesn't know who I am, my name is Stephen Now. That's my, well, not quite my full name, nearly my full name. And I'm one of the members here at EBC. And it's my privilege to take week two, if you like, of this four-part series about our front line. Now, I think before we start, I probably should say to you that you do look ahead a little bit when you're planning these talks and writing these talks. I thought I'd got it finished. So, you finish it off, you hopefully get it finished with about a week to go. And then, of course, things have changed a bit, okay? Just generally in the world, things have changed a bit. And so, therefore, I'm hoping that what I've got to say today can still be used in your life, and maybe by God, to not necessarily kind of put into action perhaps the way that I'm explaining it right now, but things may have to change and adapt. And I think that's what we're all facing at the moment in everyday life. So, first of all, let me just do a very quick recap of last week. If you weren't here, and we had the topic introduced by a guy called Jonathan Edwards, and he talked about our front line, and he talked about how we are all out in the world, and he sort of said as a starting point that he estimated, he said quite conservatively, that we probably came into contact with around about 20 people in any week, okay, on average. So if you weren't able to be here last week and you have access to the internet, you can hear the talk there. If you don't have access to the internet, I'm sure we can sort out a way of giving you access to that talk. But that's basically how it's introduced. So I thought, well, okay, why don't I think about the week I've just had and think about the number of people that I would have come into contact with, just to see if that 20 was about right or not. So first thing I thought about was, well, work, okay? I appreciate that everybody goes out into the workplace, but for me, I originally trained as an accountant, and now I basically teach trainee accountants. Now, before anybody asks afterwards, I'm rubbish at tax. Don't ask me about tax. Okay, I don't do tax. I actually don't really do what people would call proper accounting either. I'm more into kind of the management accounting, strategy management-y stuff. Okay, talking about strategy stuff, love it. Debits, credits. Not really, okay? If you're not an accountant, that'll mean nothing to you, okay? But anyway, moving on. So I originally trained as an accountant, and I work for a company called BPP in our Reading office. And we're actually quite a small office, but even there, I thought, well, I'm probably coming into contact with, what, half a dozen people most days? Okay, so that's six to start off with. And then I thought, well, what about outside of the workplace? What about when I perhaps do some of my social activities? So I'm a member of one of the local cricket clubs in Binfield, and you might be thinking, now, come on, Steve, okay, the weather's been rubbish. Surely you're not into cricket just yet. Surely that doesn't work. Well, in a way, yes, but we are starting our indoor cricket nets at the moment, so we're meeting up actually around about 1 o'clock, so apologies if you do want to talk to me after the service and I've nipped off, but it's nets at one, okay, so I've got a place to go. But in terms of a net, I thought, well, last week I was in what we call a lane, so a particular net, and I had sort of chats with five guys as we were waiting to bowl, just chatting about various bits and bobs that are going on. I thought, well, actually, I also chatted about another five people outside of that, so it's probably about another 10. Okay, so about 6 plus 10. And then I thought, well, I also go to my son's football matches. So at the moment, they are still going ahead. So yesterday, I went to watch my youngest son, James, play. Probably chatted about, what, another 10 people there? So, okay, so I'm already over the 20 that Jonathan suggested last week. And then I thought about another day. It wasn't in this week, so you just have to kind of bear with me. Give me a bit of, I guess, poetic license on this. And I thought about around about 2-3 weeks ago, I was on a golf day with the Golf Society that I'm a member of. I thought, well, actually, before we went out for our game, I sat with about another six guys, and we had breakfast together. Again, just chatting. I then thought, well, I played a round of golf with two other guys for 4 and a bit hours that we're walking round a golf course. I thought afterwards, I then stood and chatted to probably about another half a dozen guys. So I'm thinking, well, actually, I do have contact with a reasonable number of people. Now, I fully appreciate that may not be your exact scenario, okay? I do appreciate that you might think, oh, I don't need to come into contact with as many people. But the point I'm trying to make is that I think we probably do, in some shape or form, come into contact with others. So then I thought about what Jonathan was saying, and I thought, well, in some ways, that's the easy bit, okay? Thinking about the people you come into contact with. What's the hard part? Well, I don't know about you, but when I was sat there last week and Jonathan was talking, okay, apologies again if you weren't here last week, but Jonathan was talking and he made it sound so easy, okay? That's the kind of the impression I was. Made it sound so easy. He kind of said, well, you know, I've got this little stall that I've got and this guy came up to me and we just started talking about God. Right, okay, well, that's not necessarily my experience. And it just sounded such an easy, natural thing for him. And I did sit there, I have to say, and think, yeah, but come on, that's easy for you, isn't it? I mean, you're a previous General Secretary of the Baptist Union. I mean, you've been in Christian ministry for, as he said, 40-odd years. I mean, surely that's just easy and natural to you. I'm sure if he was here, he would say, it isn't, okay? But I did sit there and think, okay, I get the point about coming to contact, but the bit about then talking about church, that's the bit that I think is a bit more of a challenge. So, also before I go any further, to start to think about those challenges, I did just want to just mention people who perhaps, as Phil mentioned earlier, perhaps you're here for the first time, or perhaps you haven't been coming to church for a long time, perhaps you wouldn't even call yourself a Christian just yet. And at this point, you might say, doesn't really apply to me then today. Because, well, I've got nothing to say. I've got nothing to tell others. When Steve starts talking in a moment about telling others about church and that type of thing, well, I'm not really a churchgoer, so I don't really need to kind of think about this stuff. Well, actually, I think you do. And actually, I'm going to try my best to say things like when we come to church or tell people about when we're at church rather than our faith as a Christian, because there might be some of you here for whom that's not the case just yet. And actually, you have just as an important thing to say to people as people that have had a faith for years. Even if it was tomorrow saying to somebody, do you know, I went to church yesterday. Actually, that's a really good thing. It's a really good thing. So having kind of got that out the way, if you like, that this applies to all of us, I then just wanted to think about the kind of challenge that Jonathan started last week, but he's going to carry on through the rest of this series, which is about, well, yes, we've got this front line, and as those pictures earlier were trying to highlight, we go out into the world in various ways, we come into contact with others. How do we then start talking about going to church? How do we then start to talk about our experience of going to church? So, again, just kind of run with this for a moment. Picture the scene on what would be my ordinary Monday morning, okay? If you like, my this time tomorrow. So, might be a bit earlier than this time tomorrow, but ordinarily, around about 8 o'clock in the morning, I would be going to catch the train from Bracknell to Reading. Now, of course, you won't talk to anybody in the station or on the train, because that's, you know, you wouldn't do that. That's not going to happen. However, when I walk into the office, okay, if it's like most offices, I suspect what would happen is, you know, what's the first thing you're going to be asked? How are you? How was your weekend? Because that's what we do. That's what we do when we go into the office. Now, a lot of the time, what do we usually say? Normal British response is, yeah, not bad. You? Yeah, not bad. And on we go. Okay, that's about as far as the conversation goes. But maybe if you know your colleagues just that little bit better, conversation might go to maybe a next level that says, so what do you get up to? Now, this is the point for me that I know my quandary kicks in and I go, do I mention the church thing? I'll talk about what I did on Saturday. I'll talk about I went to see my son play football. I did this, that, and the other. Do I mention the church thing? For example, tomorrow, do I say to them, do you know what? I actually did the talk at church yesterday. Or do I keep quiet about that? That's where, for me, my quandary sometime kicks in. Other weeks, do I say to them, do you know what? I went to church and I had a really great time singing songs. Singing songs in kind of a worship time. Other times do I say to them, actually, I've been going through a really bad time, but I've got lots of people who support me and help me through that. They pray for me, and it has been really helpful to me. The reality, to my shame, is I know that I don't do that enough. I talk to them in great detail about other stuff. I talk them through my superb round of golf I had the other Sunday. I didn't actually, but you get the idea. I'm quite happy to talk to them about my rounds of golf, my cricket, whatever. But the church stuff, I don't talk to them enough about it. So why? Why is it that I, and perhaps you don't? So I'm going to go through a few kind of ideas, and I'm hoping that some of them might resonate with you. Now, the main one, it was very briefly mentioned last week by Simon when he was leading the worship. About fear. I think that's a really big potential problem. I know it's one for me. I think, well, yeah, but if I start talking about church stuff, what's going to happen? What's going to happen with those people that I come into contact on quite a regular basis? Again, picture a slightly different scene. Not the work one, okay? I might mention that in a moment, but picture a different scene. I mentioned that I'm a member of a local cricket club. In the summer, have a game of cricket on a Saturday, and as is the kind of tradition, we quite often stay, nice evening, maybe have a drink together, get chatting on the outfield. Okay, just get chatting as you do. Now, what would happen if somebody said to me, so what are you up to tomorrow? Again, what I should be saying is, well, I'm off to church in the morning, as usual, and then, you know, I might pop up in the afternoon, come and see the game in the afternoon. Or would I do that kind of, this and that, a few bits and bobs, you know, not actually mention it. Now, why would I do that? Well, because what I don't want to happen is the next time I go to the cricket club and the next time we're having that drink, that everybody's thinking, oh, no, I've got to stand next to Steve. And he's going to talk about church stuff again. And I really don't want to talk about church stuff. And I end up being kind of the one that's pushed to the outside. And it's that fear for me sometimes. And that's why I'm not necessarily so forthcoming about talking about church. I think it's the same in the workplace, as I just mentioned. So I know for me, again, I've kind of sat in the workplace thinking, but if I do this, if I talk about church, what's going to happen the next time they're thinking about going for lunch and who they invite to go for lunch with them? Or coffee, as we're thinking about in a moment. Are they going to stop inviting me? Are they going to say, well, we don't want that odd Christian bloke, Steve. We don't want him coming with us. Is that going to happen or not? Now, then when I thought it through a bit further, I thought, well, is that the reality? You know, when I've actually had okay, come on, let's do this, okay? And I've said, I went to church. Is it the reality that people have then just excluded me? Well, maybe I've been lucky. But actually, I don't think that's been my experience. Actually, a lot of the time, people have asked more questions. Actually, people have then said, so what do you do? And how does that work? And they've asked me more things about it. And so, actually, is that fear a real thing? I know it might be for some of you. But as I said, when I then thought about it some more, that isn't actually the reality that I've had. What's another kind of scenario? Well, maybe you think, well, yeah, but they're just not going to be interested, are they? You know, they're just going to be interested in that kind of stuff. We're often told, aren't we, to avoid politics and religion, okay, when you're in kind of social scenarios. So we perhaps just avoid it and think people won't be interested. But again, the reality for me is I've had lots of times when I've thought that and actually people are more than interested. The one example that I wanted to kind of go through, I'll go through it with my boss. Again, just hold on, and you'll kind of see how this is relevant. But I do also want to just think about how, again, apologies if you weren't here last week, but Jonathan did an illustration where he got people to stand up and sit down as to why they came to church originally. And there were a few people, I think he said around about 25% of people here, who came because a friend invited them or something of that nature. So it did get me thinking, well, that means that for some of us here, it was because of a friend. And I'm sure we must have had conversations with them. And if we were interested, then I'm sure some other friends would be interested. So to kind of say, well, I don't think they're going to be interested, I don't think we can really make that choice for them. We can talk. If they're not interested, they could ignore us. But let me just go back to this scenario I had with my boss. I distinctly remember it, and it was a really strange scenario. So I had a meeting with my boss. There was just me and having this meeting. I can't even remember what it was about. And I can't even remember how we got round to the conversation, but I do distinctly remember that somehow it came up that most mornings, hopefully every morning, I spend a bit of time reading a bit of the Bible and praying. And those of you that have been here before and heard me talk before, you know quite often for me that's on a train. That's quite often how it works. I'm going to or from work. And I thought, oh, what have I just said, telling her all about that? You know, I do this, she's going to think I'm really odd. Her response was, close the door, I'm fascinated, I need to hear some more. I thought, oh, okay, wasn't quite expecting that response. And we then spent around 10 minutes chatting about why I did it, what I got out of it, why that was important to me. Now, if any of you are sat there going, hold on, backtrack a minute, you said a few minutes ago, yeah, you see, Jonathan made it sound so easy, and you just made it sound so easy as well. Trust me, it wasn't easy, okay? I was sat there thinking, I don't know where this is going. I don't know if this is going to work out all right. I'm not quite sure what's going to go on. Also, if you think this is now going to be Steve's story of, and that person is now here or now regularly attending another church, or you know, is off doing some work somewhere for the church, they're not. Okay, but I want to come back to that a little bit later. Okay, so just hold that thought and I'll come back to that. So, we might be sat there thinking, is this really down to me? Is this really down to me as an individual? Is this something that I should be doing? And therefore, we're going to take a look at a passage from the Bible, okay, and take a look at a bit from the Bible to sort of explore this just a little bit further. Now, as was, again, sort of started last week, but we're going to carry it on this week, you might well be sat there thinking, this really isn't me. Okay, this really isn't my job. Okay, that, you know, we've got people who are what Christians would call evangelists, and it's kind of their job to go out and talk about God and the church. And then you have people stood at the front of church who traditionally we call the preacher. It's their job to do that as well. It's not me. Okay, it's not my job to be doing this. It's somebody else's job. Let's take a look at this sort of part of the Bible and explore that a little bit further. So it's come up on screen. So it's from Romans, a book called Romans in the Bible, and it's from chapter 10, verses 9 to 15. So it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. As scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. So, as you can see up on the screen now, there's a little bit in verse 14 that I just wanted you to think about first of all, okay? Where it says to us, how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Now this again, I think is another insight into why we may not think it's our kind of responsibility to talk to people about church. We may not think that we have kind of a role to play in that. And that's because, you know, don't want to go into debate around that, a Christian country. So we may think, well, actually, people have grown up with church and God and all that kind of stuff. So they'll know all the stuff. They'll know all the basics about church and what goes on. So I don't really need to do that. That's not really something I have to do. Well, we're about to watch a clip, okay? And I just wanted to tell you before it starts, it is a clip that was done for the Church of England, okay? And I appreciate that we're in a Baptist church. You might say, well, not really relevant, Steve, but I'm hoping it does still prove a point, show you a point. And it is 5 years old, but again, I still think it's relevant in terms of what it's trying to show us. So can we have the clip, please?
Church of England, no. Not really, no.
I don't, because I don't attend.
Nothing, yeah.
I used to go to guides there.
Church of England.
I really don't. But the Church of England is in...
Where the Archbishop of Canterbury is. Who's the Archbishop of Canterbury?
They pray and stuff. I don't know. They do Mass, I think.
Just they have a cross and Bibles.
They do readings, Bible readings, and sing songs and things like that.
They don't believe in Mary, do they? They don't have a Mass, they have communion. Do you know that?
Was set up by Henry VIII.
The Anglican Church is represented in the House of Lords. It's the Queen's church, isn't it?
The Queen is the head of the Church of England, and the rules have been changed over the years.
It's a worldwide organisation.
The Anglican Church has bishops.
Church of England means a very weak Christian. It's kind of a bit of a cop-out.
There's not as many people going to church now as they did years ago.
I think they try very hard and they do some really good stuff.
No, they're going out of business.
I think both the Anglican Church and the Methodist Church do an enormous amount of good work.
They're going out, definitely.
So, I mean, there's bits in that. I'm pretty certain the guy said they do mass rather than maths. I'm pretty certain he's not doing numbers. But there were some other bits in there that I watched and I was kind of like, people don't know. Okay, people do not know what goes on at church week by week. We kind of make an assumption they do, and they really don't. People really do not know what happens. So, moving a little bit further on in the passage, there's another bit of verse 14 that I wanted to take a look at, because you might look at it and say, ah, you see, this goes back to what we said before, that again, it's not my job. Because what it says to us there is, and how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And so if you kind of read that literally, you might sit there and go, but you see, that's your job from the front, Steve. You see, that's your job from here, because you're doing the preaching. That's what you should be doing. And I used that word evangelist before. So, you know, it's what Christians call the evangelists who go out and tell people. So nothing doing me. Okay, I don't need to do this. It's somebody else's job. But let me now just go back to verse 10. I'll have the next slide up. That's it. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. So to me, that felt like it was quite clear that it's saying it is with your mouth. And actually, we all have a role to play in this. We all have something that we can tell others. Now, as I said, you might be sat there going, I don't know anything to tell others yet. I've only been to church a couple of times. What I said earlier, even that is something to tell others. If you've been coming to church for years and you've had what we call Christian faith for years, that's something to be telling others. And I think God wants today to think perhaps a little bit differently about this whole evangelism preaching thing, and about how we can perhaps try and take a bit of ownership ourselves. Last week, a kind of chain was mentioned, and kind of links in a chain. Now, as I said, I'm an accountant by profession, although I made a bit of a joke earlier that I don't kind of do proper accounting. I do still quite like numbers. Okay, I'm still quite a numbers person. And so a few sums are going to appear on screen. Now, don't shout out as to what they are equal to. Just go through them, and then we'll talk about it afterwards. So can I have the first one there? Okay, so apologies that I'm asking you to, you know, do a bit of maths this morning, but I'm hoping that those couple, okay, happy with those? Right, next one. Give me a minute. Because the people that are real mathematicians are going to want to make sure there's definitely 10 of those up there, okay, just to make sure. Next slide's really going to blow those people's minds. Next one, there you go, okay. Right. Hopefully you get the point. They all equal 100. They all come to the same end point of 100. And there are 100. I counted them earlier. Okay, I made sure there were 100 on there. They all come to 100. So what's the kind of point I'm trying to make with those? Well, it could be that you think, well, me just mentioning church doesn't have any kind of impact. That could be one of those number ones. That could be just that initial kind of number one conversation. And then the following week, you might mention it again. But then if somebody asks you a bit more about it, that kind of number one conversation could become a 5 or a 10. And actually, before we know it, it might be having a conversation that's more 25 in nature. I hope you get the idea about how that kind of builds. And at some point, somebody might reach the point where they equal the notional 100 and say to you, actually, I want to explore this a little bit more. Now, I mentioned a few moments ago my old boss and the conversation that we had. I said, look, my old boss is not a regular churchgoer. I have to be honest and say, if you met her in our office, you would say, certainly by some of the language she uses, she certainly isn't somebody who called herself a Christian just yet, and some of the kind of ways and mannerisms she has. So is that conversation wasted? That conversation we had, is that now a wasted conversation? I think, oh, why did I bother? Well, actually, I'm really hoping that it becomes part of that sum. I'm really hoping that it's part of that sum, that at some point, either she'll have more conversations with me or more conversations with somebody else that leads to that coming to 100 overall. I want to try and bring this to kind of a close, and there's a couple of things that I then want to kind of add in here. First of all, just one last thought about that. It's not down to me. You know, it's down to somebody else or other people can do this job. There is something that is apparently called the bystander effect, which I've seen around a little bit before. I thought it was really relevant for today. And apparently there's been various studies done on this. It's kind of like a social phenomenon, apparently. So if you can picture the scene that you've got maybe a very busy high street, and somebody is maybe calling out for help, or somebody, it's obvious they're being perhaps attacked by somebody, or something like that's going on. Apparently, the busier the high street is, the less likely that person is to get help. Why is that? Well, because everybody else thinks everybody else is going to give that help. Everybody else thinks everybody else will make that phone call to somebody like Jack to go and help. Everybody thinks it's down to everybody else, and therefore nothing actually happens. And that, for me, I felt was really relevant in terms of how we might be thinking today. So why is it called the coffee table, and why have you got the coasters? They're not mini frisbees, okay? Why have you got the coasters on your seats? Well, a bit like last week, we wanted to give some kind of visual representation. And what we're thinking about this week is, the original idea is, I mean, what could be more British than having a cup of tea with somebody? Okay, I mean, that's what we seem to do a lot of, you know, let's have a cup of tea. We may have moved on a little bit now, it's more, we're apparently more coffee drinkers than tea drinkers, but the principle's the same, okay? We have chance to have tea, coffee with people. Maybe you're not a tea or a coffee drinker. Maybe you're the kind of person who might like to go with a friend to the pub to have a beer or a glass of wine or something of that nature. But we do have chance to be with other people. Now, this is where, again, the week has changed, and therefore this part of the talk kind of looks a bit different now, because it was going to be, so who can we think about inviting out for a drink, and how it's changed a bit. But actually, I think over the coming weeks, we might have chance to do that differently, okay, and show people and talk to people a little bit about being a Christian and being part of a church. Only this morning, I was listening to the radio, and on the radio, the guy was talking about how over the next few weeks, there is a really big chance for us to show more about how community should work and about how community should be helping each other. There's a really big opportunity to do that, rather than us all going out, and I'm not talking about anybody individually, all going out and panic buying stuff and hoarding it for us. Actually working more like a community where we buy what we need and that leaves enough for everybody else as a community. Actually just looking out for others, just checking others are okay. That's a way for us to show real community. And it might be that within that, actually there is the chance that somebody might say to you, why are you doing this? Why are you looking out for me? And we might just say, well, actually, I'm somebody who goes to church, and therefore actually I think it's just important that I just look out for others. Just part of that link, part of that sum that might lead to 100. So, as we come to kind of towards a close, there are the two questions that have popped up on screen. And this is where, as we said, we want you to kind of take away the coaster and think about these questions. Now, I said, who in your front line could you talk to about church and God? As I said, the original kind of idea behind today was about, well, who could I invite for a coffee, cup of tea, whatever kind of drink, if you like? Who can I have that time with to talk a little bit about my time at church? Yes, that may look different now, but the principle is still the same. Now, who is it I'm going to come into regular contact with, be that physically, be that on the phone, be that as they're increasingly talking about via Skype or some kind of other communication mechanism, the people that I come into regular contact with, who is it that I might be able to have that conversation with? Then, what is stopping you? Is it that fear? Is it that we think they won't be interested? Maybe you think you're not kind of good enough to do that. Well, just talk, okay? Just talk to others. So what we're going to do now is just have a few minutes just to kind of think about those questions, okay? And I said, as a response, you've got the coaster. So just for a few minutes, we're just going to think about who might be those people we come into contact with and what might be stopping us. And after those few minutes, I'll bring it all together in a prayer, and then the band are going to lead us in a song.